Today's audio cast for Friday, April 13th, 2007 from AvWeb, the world's premier independent aviation news resource, is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting. AvWeb caught up with DayJet President, CEO, and founder Ed Iacobucci to find out about his company's plans to start a per-seat on-demand air taxi service using Eclipse 500 Very Light Jets. He started out by noting that his company is different than existing air charter services.
Well, DayJet is a new concept in the sense that it's trying, or it is addressing, a market that largely doesn't have very many ways to service today. As a concept of, you know, hiring an aircraft to take you from point A to point B, it's not a new concept, obviously. But the whole idea that we can build a large population of people in specifically identified markets that are eligible to use a service that would use it on a seat basis, and then we can then aggregate those requests in a reasonable fashion such that we meet the customer request for when they want to go from one point to the other, and make economic sense for how we optimize the use of the fleet is a new concept, and it requires a great deal of new real-time optimization technology and real-time last-minute planning systems that, you know, basically generate all the flight documents and perform all the tests, and in a just-in-time fashion file the flight plans and so forth.
The big challenge for DayJet was to solve how to optimize a complicated schedule.
The core of the whole system is, and the real problem that needs to be solved is the problem that dispatchers face every day today. And since we've been running a 135 operation, I can tell you that we've lived with this problem ourselves. And that is basically, how do you use the fleet that you have at your disposal in an optimal way and satisfy the most number of customers possible? Typically in the on-demand world, it's all done on a per-plane basis. And that's complicated enough to do. If you try to do more than one customer in one day, that is to say, service one charter operation in the morning and one in the afternoon, that makes it infinitely more, well, not infinitely, but significantly more complicated. If you add to that that you could have customers that mix in and they're actually using a seat, and you're picking one customer up in one place and dropping them off and picking another one up, and they're overlapping in various ways, that makes it nearly infinitely complicated. And when you scale that to a very large number of aircraft, and that's exactly what we wanted to build, was an engine that could do that. It's been about 5 years in development. It's pretty basic mathematics and heuristics, applied research basically in that area. We've had some really smart guys working on that. And they've got an engine where you could just throw various types of demand at it, and it figures out how to, first of all, determine whether your fleet can support that additional request by reorganizing everything else it's doing. And then over time, it tries to reorganize it again and again until it finds a more optimal way to use your fleet. So the idea is service the most customers possible within the boundaries that they select of when they want to leave and get there by, and do that in the least expensive way in terms of flying deadheads and pickups and drop-offs and so forth. And that in itself is what I'll call the nugget of the core engine around which we wrap a whole series of other systems that deal with the more traditional aviation tasks of crew compliance and maintenance releases and crew releases and flight releases and weather forecasting, and the whole thing is built around an automated engine so that the first thing that happens when the reservations come in is we figure out a way that we could use the fleet to satisfy the demands, and then all the other systems basically automate the production of all the required flight docs and We do that electronically and distribute it to our pilots through EFBs, some EFB systems that we've developed that allow them to review all the aspects of the trip and accept it with digital signatures. And basically, it's a paperless certificate. It's really one of the first of its kind, as we are led to understand by the FAA.
Yakabuchi explains how the company's model works.
You really have to understand who our customers are. And basically, we're not really trying to do what charter operators all do today and fractional guys do today, and that is, you know, serving people that want to charter an airplane to go from one place to another. We're basically much more oriented towards functional point A to point B travel without a lot of the other things that we do typically have done in charter. So our focus is providing the lowest cost transport from hard to get to and get from locations. In traditional terms, these are locations that may not have or almost always never have 121 service between them because the demand is so sparse. The things that drives away market planners for large airlines are things that attract us. In other words, if there's only going to be three or four people per day that are going to go between A and B with a large variability, some days it's zero, some days it's three, sometimes it's five, and other days it's, you know, one passenger. Those are very attractive markets to us because it allows us to use the power of the optimizer to do something that a room full of people can't very well do, and that is figure out all the millions of decisions that you have to make to find the most optimal way to fly around. Now, what that means from a business model standpoint is that it's not like the traditional charter the whole airplane. You're basically saying, I want to go from A to B. Can you do it? Yes or no? And we tell you yes or no. And we quote you a price, and you accept it or not. If you don't accept it, obviously, you move on, do something else. But once you accept the price and once we confirm that passage, which happens very quickly, about we can tune it to different times. We're selecting about 5 seconds is what we're going to do. So within 5 seconds, you'll get a response, and it'll be yes or no. If it's yes, you're booked and you're committed. Now, any other reservations that come in between when you make that reservation and when the flight leaves will only be accepted if they don't disrupt the commitment we made to you. So we hold that commitment steady and the pricing steady, irrespective of how many other people might or might not be on the airplane. In fact, we never know how many people are on the airplane until we print out the flight plans at the end, because it's constantly changing. It's not really a tail number. It's a virtual tail number that's being loaded and reused over and over again. And the last minute, we finally assign a real airplane to it and so forth. And we found that the customers to address this middle tier market, that it's not the executives, but it's the directors or the senior managers or managers, in some cases, individual contributors that have high value trips between hard to get to places. One of the things that they told us they absolutely had to have before their companies would approve travel on this thing, on a system like this, would be to have absolute assurance that they were going to fly once they were confirmed. They were going to fly. That means irrespective of how many other people show up to use that service on that day, they're we're going to fly the schedule that we quote and at the price that we quote. In a way, what we're doing is we're taking the risk that we'll find other people to come on the airplane. And so, therefore, part of what we have to do is we have to guarantee that we'll fly it even with one person. So if you look at it from that perspective, what you really want is you want an aircraft that has the lowest cost per mile, not per seat mile, but per mile, to operate, which gives you the highest probability you're going to make money when you get a second or a third person on the airplane. It turns out that the Eclipse, out of all the VLJs, is the smallest one, and while some people have chosen to say that's a problem with the Eclipse, we see it as a valuable attribute of the Eclipse in that it allows us to fly basically at a leg break-even of about 1.3 packs, which means that if there's no passengers, we don't fly. If there's one passenger, we're nearly at break-even. If we go to two, we're making money. If we go to three, we make even more. So it allows us to operate the lowest risk fleet in terms of cost, and with a good upside potential, because you know, at two or three packs, it's an entirely different deal.
Very light jets are an important platform for DayJet's operations, according to Iacobucci.
The VLJ, in and of itself, doesn't create this market, but it does provide a very interesting platform that's being delivered in quantity, that has very modern avionics. Ultimately, I think we're doing that in stages with Eclipse, but the idea of practically all VLJs is that before the end of next year, all VLJs will have basically satellite navigation capabilities that are on par with most modern airliners, including offset navigation capabilities, low minimums into airports that have no ground navigation equipment, with LPV approaches, ultimately being able to take advantage of RNP to have unique routings between airports. And all these things make all the sense in the world between small airports. And we intend to exploit all that as they become available.
The company took delivery of three Eclipse 500s earlier this month and is making steps toward starting air service.
This is the rubber meeting the road. We today have, as you say, we've taken delivery of three airplanes, got C of A last week. We had a team out there going through the delivery process and the acceptance process, and very satisfied that it meets our criteria. We've got a delivery criteria for the aircraft. There's one more thing that needs to be done to the aircraft, and that is adding an AI, an attitude indicator, a third attitude indicator, which, while they were planning on having that as part of the integrated package, didn't make it in the first release. So we're adding a third mechanical instrument, independent instrument. That's going through FAA certification testing this week, and we expect that by next week all three aircraft will probably have that installed. In the meantime, we've got about 12 pilots thus far that have gone through ground school, and have also gone through the ground school portion of our certificate training, our 135 training, and basically they're waiting for their type rating and their time in aircraft, and probably by the end of this week they'll be up in the air. I think they're on their way out to Albuquerque now, so we'll be and that'll be about another 2 weeks, and we should have type rated crews available. We've got another class of about 16 that are coming on starting next week. Then we will be hiring as we gain better visibility of our aircraft delivery schedules. But basically, it's just-in-time process. We've had the curriculum and the training programs have been approved and under our certificate of operation, which we have today, a 135 certificate. And as you look forward into the future, when the simulators are available, it's going to make the process a lot easier, because we don't have to juggle aircraft between production and training. We'll be training and getting type certs on everything in simulators, and then we'll do a basic check ride and be able to bring people on board. But that's over the course of this year. That's later in this year. We'll be at simulator. For the time being, until the simulator is available, we'll be using the aircraft for training, and then some of the other aircraft for service.
For more information on DayJet's future plans, listen to part two of this interview, available now at avweb.com. Comments on this audiocast are welcome at audionews@avweb.com. This report was brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. Look for AvWeb's next audiocast on Monday, April 16th. I'm Mike Blakeney, reporting for AvWeb Audio. Thanks for listening.